Welcome to episode 37 of the Keto Matrix podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, you guys are in for a treat. So before I kind of intro who we're talking about, I just want to say I appreciate you guys so much. I really do. Some of the things that I do seem a little crazy and outlandish, but I do them because I truly don't feel that I can have an opinion on something without at least experiencing what it is, especially when it comes to products and giving my opinion on what to use and how to use and how it impacts those people. So I decided a while ago that I was going to take a huge risk and experiment with a product that literally had the ability to kill me, and that product happened to be adaptogens. I have listened to several other people just thrive and talk through how their impact with adaptogens have impacted them positively, and I really wanted to experience that. I am, however, anaphylactically allergic to mushrooms. So either way, I digress. This episode, we have the pleasure of having Alex Curtis on from New Roast. Today is June the 2nd. This episode is going live in moments, and I want you guys to recognize that they just released a new flavor. It is salted caramel pecan, I believe, something of that nature. I could be totally wrong on that, but they also just had a chocolate hazelnut that came out last month. You guys have the option of using Keto Neo, K-E-T-O-N-E-O, to receive 20% off. Guys, go get this coffee. It's ridiculously good. Not just for coffee in general, but like for any coffee. It's amazingly tasty. And then their flavor aspects, we talk a little bit about it in the episode. Keto Neo, 20% off. This is the time to do it. So check that out. Enjoy the episode. We appreciate you. If you feel like this is something that someone else can resonate with or enjoy, please share it with them. We thank you for constantly tuning in. I appreciate it. We appreciate you. And if there are any things that you would like me to try, experiment with, or provide my opinion on, let me know. You can shoot me a message, DM, email me, send me a smoke signal. I am listening, paying attention, and Brayton and I would like to do anything we possibly can to help provide insight in this field. Thank you so much. Let's jump into the episode.
The Keto Matrix Podcast, where myths are busted, science is explained, and the keto lifestyle is discussed by industry experts and everyday people alike. For more information and support, go to theketomatrix.com. Now, let's jump into our latest episode.
Ladies and gents, we have a long anticipated and awaited guest. And I know you guys have never heard me say that before. And this is yet another solo episode where Brittany is not in to rein me in. So we're going to let this get a little crazy. And I will say, when I say long anticipated, this is the most risky conversation I'll ever have because it started with the most risky thing I've ever experimented with. For some of you, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Other of you are thinking that makes no sense. Let's just say I risked my life to try this individual's product because it literally had the ability to kill me. Now, if that's not a huge intro, I don't know what is. But Alex Curtis from New Roast, what's going on, man? How are you?
Hey, man. Two things to I guess touch on there. I actually totally forgot that you'd reached out before you tried our coffee creamers, and you were saying that like you might have an allergy to mushrooms, but you're going to give it a shot anyway. And I totally forgot about that. So I appreciate that.
Let's just say my wife was not happy at all.
That's a good point. Yeah, we've been talking about getting this going for a while, so I'm glad we could finally make some time and make it work.
Oh, absolutely. This is all about you, but I just have to say, so when I decided I was going to do this, I was like, what's the worst that's going to happen, right? I'm going to die, right? But I mean, aside from that, as long as I have an EpiPen on hand, you know, a few people that are close by that know, hey, if you don't hear from me, you should probably just send the ambulance over, then, you know, we should be pretty good. So
are that good, people. Yeah, exactly.
That good. So, I mean, I did a live the other day, and I was like, this is my EpiPen sitting on my desk because I literally was like, if I need to stab myself in the leg within 20 minutes of this, I'm going to have to get it done. So I did. And I'm so glad that I did, man. The New Roast for me has been complete game changer in so many different aspects of things. So let's talk a little bit about it. First, before we get into New Roast and adaptogens and all that kind of stuff, let's just talk coffee for a second, if that's cool.
Sure. Yeah, totally.
I mean, so how did you kind of get into the space of coffee in general?
I guess at the time I was freelancing. This is before I started New Roast, and I was working a 9-to-5 and I was freelancing. So I found myself like constantly feeling burnt out. I love coffee, and a few other medicinal mushrooms into my diet, into my coffee. And at one point, I remember like maybe it was like 2 a.m. and I was in like a bad headspace, and all I could wait, I couldn't wait to like get into the office and just have that first cup of mushroom coffee. And that's kind of when it clicked for me.
So I guess, so transition from, how many cups of coffee were you doing like on average, and how long was that period of time of just slamming coffee?
I was probably doing like 4 or 5 cups, which isn't a lot to a lot of people, but it was a lot for me at the time. Even now I only have like 2 cups of coffee a day, which people assume I drink coffee like 8 cups a day, but I really only have those two because that was kind of the point of, making the mushroom coffee product, was to just have like 2 super efficient cups and, you know, not have to be slamming coffee and caffeine all day long.
Okay. So let's talk, you know, 4 or 5 cups. And, for some reason I have clients that I try to get their coffee levels down, their caffeine intake down. And when I say a cup of coffee, I'll have some people that come to me and like, oh, I only drank 1 cup. It was a 32 ounce Yeti. That was all I did.
Yeah, yeah.
So let's actually quantify this. When you said 1 or 2 cups or 4 cups, are we talking like 8 ounces, 16 ounces?
I'd probably do like 10 ounces on average.
All right. So you were doing a good 50 ounces of coffee.
Yeah, that sounds about right back then.
That's insane. Okay. So where did we get to the point of you wanting to kind of look at mushrooms, and how did that kind of transition happen? How did you even get turned on to that?
Well, I was looking up nootropics. So I'd taken stuff like Adderall before, and, you know, I found that it was great, but it comes at a cost. There's no free lunch. So, you know, you take it, you perform well, but you know that it's at risk to your health. And, you know, I wasn't feeling great afterwards. So I wanted something natural that could kind of, maybe like naturally compete with that. So I started looking into nootropics, and I found that everything that I was looking for was either super expensive, or had like some sketchy ingredients that maybe, you know, I just didn't feel comfortable taking. So eventually, just by researching, I found that like lion's mane and cordyceps and chaga, if I could create my own sort of all around wellness nootropic, you know, that would replace that. And it would also, you know, it could be cheaper. There would be like very little downside. So, yeah.
Okay. So one of the things I know that for me, I'm deep into the science aspect of things, but I mean, how did you even stumble on a nootropic? I mean, most people are probably listening and thinking, what in the world is a nootropic? We're going to get there. Obviously it's, you know, the adaptogens that are in, the coffee, but like what and how did you even stumble across that? I mean, there are a lot of people, I'm sure, that have prescriptions for Adderall and they don't even know what a nootropic is. So how did you even kind of get into that?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't really thought about it until you asked me just now, but probably just going through like the like going down a rabbit hole of like Google searches. So you start off like natural, like ADHD, you know, alternative or something, and then that leads you to like brain pills or something, and then I'd look at that and I'd be like, okay, it's $100 a month for these pills that may or may not work. That's not going to work for me. Let me look at the ingredients. Why are they calling this a like a nootropic or like a cognitive enhancer? And I'd go through each ingredient, and I think I just started picking up on, I remember seeing 4-Sigmatic at one point, with lion's mane, and some of the pre-workouts and some sports nutrition products I was taking had lion's mane or cordyceps in them. So eventually I kind of saw that trend and then started picking out those ingredients individually, realized they're all mushroom extracts, which was fun. Thought, where can I get these and how can I start experimenting and just kind of make it myself? Cause I'm sure I can make an option that's cheaper than what's on the market and higher quality, more importantly.
Man. Okay. So let's backtrack a little bit, if you don't mind. I kind of want to unpack this just because it's one, it's intriguing, but two, I just, when you're sitting there having 4 or 5 cups of coffee a day, what were you doing? Where did you work at the time? You don't have to say like the company, but like, what was your focus?
Sure. I was like social media and digital marketing. So one was for a food company, and then my freelance gig, which was like my kind of like nighttime, like 6 p.m. till whenever I fall asleep gig, was in health and sports nutrition products. So, you know, I would pretty much have my first cup of coffee at like 9 a.m. and then my last cup of coffee at like 7 p.m., something like that.
Okay, cool. So first cup of coffee, 9, and then let's just say evenly spaced throughout the day, 5 cups between 9 a.m. and 7 p.m.
Yeah.
How much sleep were you getting on average?
Not much. That was a big problem. By the time, you know, I'd go work out after my 9 to 5, go work out for like 45 minutes and then start the freelance gig. You know, 10 o'clock would roll around. I'm still kind of wide awake. All of a sudden it's 1 a.m. You know, I realized it's just not a sustainable way to try to accomplish what I'm trying to accomplish.
Okay. I mean, being self-aware, that's man, that's good. Okay. So we're working 9 to 9, 9 to 10. And you're sleeping. When you say not enough, are we talking like 5 hours a night or less?
Probably like 5 or 6 hours a night.
All right, cool. So we get 5 to 6 hours of sleep.
6 hours for whatever reason, like they hit 6 hours, they feel great. I'm just not that person. I need that 8 or 9 hours, or I'm just going to have that brain fog. So, you know, some people might hear 6 hours and be like, "That's what are you talking about? That's fine." But for me, that's not even close to enough sleep.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I functioned for, I don't know, the majority of my life on 4 hours, 4 to 6 hours of sleep, and didn't even realize, you know, just how bad off I was until I finally could get, you know, 8 hours on a consistent basis. So I think those people that only get 6 hours of sleep and they're like, "Oh yeah, it's all I need," it's just because they haven't done the things necessary to experience how their body functions at a consistent 8 hours every night. So that's a whole nother episode, but.
Yeah, totally.
So you're in this space grinding and you realize that something's got to give. You had the wherewithal to look at some of the sports nutrition products that you were dealing with, I imagine, with working out and with doing what you were doing on your 9 to 5 to look into the nootropic aspect. Now, as you mentioned, some of the other brands and things that had them in there, what things did you realize? What makes one thing different than another? You know, why are the products and the mushrooms that you source and utilize so much different than anyone else that's out there?
Yeah, it's a great question. So to touch on like one of the products I was taking, it was a caffeine free product, with just BCAAs and mushroom extracts. I didn't realize at the time that there were mushroom extracts in the product. I just started drinking it, before my workout because there was no caffeine and because I was already getting the caffeine from coffee. So I would drink it maybe like 30 minutes before my workout, and I felt like I had caffeine in my system, which was really cool because there wasn't that downside of like my heart racing or anything. I just felt really focused and just like felt great. It's an expensive product. I don't think it's on the market anymore. But I was working with that company.
People can't afford to buy it.
Yeah. That company was like sold, and I don't think they're around anymore, but the product was really good. And so that's actually the product that I was like looking at. Some of the mushrooms, they weren't all the same. So maybe I think they have like 5 in there. And I think only 2 of those 5 are ones that we use, but, lion's mane and cordyceps were in that blend. And that's actually what kind of woke me up to it. I just had I was getting great workouts in without like the caffeine jitters or crash. I don't really get jitters, but I wasn't crashing and it wasn't keeping me up at night any more than, you know, my coffee overdosing was.
Yeah, no kidding. Okay, so that product being too expensive, then the things that you're using, how did you come about like sourcing and finding it? I mean, what's the quality of the product you're actually using in the new roast? Like, how does that kind of differentiate? And
you talk about the sourcing, because that's an interesting thing that a lot of people don't realize when they're buying products, especially mushroom products, and is something that I didn't realize either when I started. A lot of companies that sell mushroom extracts are selling essentially mushroom extracts cut with brown rice powder or oat powder. It's very hard to tell what you're actually getting. And when I was like experimenting, one of the first companies I was using, it was pretty clear afterwards that that's what they were selling. And they're selling it at the same price, which is the most messed up part of it. Like per pound, you're paying the same as when you get the legit extract. So we have a couple suppliers now who, one of them reached out to us and was just like, "Hey, just letting you know, you know, we saw your brand, you're probably not, this was like week two of launching New Roast. They were like, you probably aren't getting the best extracts. Like, here's the difference. Here's the science. Here's our product. You know, if you guys want to place an order, we'll be ready. And initially my like BS sensors kind of went off because you're trying to sell me something at the same time. But once I got their product and compared it to what I was getting beforehand, it was like a night and day difference. Each extract was its own, like a totally different color. When you get a mushroom extract product that is cut with brown rice powder or oat powder or something, they're all pretty much uniform and they're all like a light brown. And okay. With these other companies I was using, I was getting with the high quality mushroom extracts, you have a white lion's mane powder, a bright orange cordyceps powder. There's third party testing. I get a COA with each order, a certificate of analysis, so I can see the levels of important ingredients in each one of them. So yeah, that's kind of how I made that shift, but it's something that most people don't know about when it comes to mushroom extracts.
Okay. So I feel like we could make this entire episode just talking about the sourcing aspect, the different qualities, the things that are mixed into all sorts of products. I mean, just the sports nutrition aspect of the underlying things that don't people recognize are actually in their products to begin with, that they're taking in and they can't understand why they're not getting either the benefits from it like they want or the side effects that come from taking it that they otherwise shouldn't have because it's quote unquote relatively clean, right? So I don't want to turn this into that just because I think that there's so much more to the product's taste and utilization that I think people have to kind of be open to and aware of. So let's first kind of go into each aspect of the mushrooms and the combination and the blend and which ones have what cause and impact and effect and then why you chose them. And then let's start going into like the taste profile of how you were even able to take them, because I know they each have a unique taste, right? Into creating them into the products that exist right now.
Yeah, each extract should have a pretty unique taste. Most of them, there's very few similarities between those extracts. When making the blend, I was kind of looking at the product, the sports nutrition product that I took that I really liked. And I was thinking like, okay, I want to tweak this so that it's specifically for better focus, mental clarity. I just want to feel good. I want to have 2 to 3 cups a day. I want to be able to sleep well. I just want to feel great and just be able to focus and, you know, perform my best, whether it's physically or mentally. So that's kind of the foundation for how am I going to make a blend that accomplishes that. Okay. From there, I broke it down into lion's mane, cordyceps, chaga, reishi, turkey tail, and shiitake. And, we're kind of phasing out shiitake right now, to kind of make a little more room to really, like add more to the lion's mane and cordyceps and chaga. But yeah, so those are like the main five. So lion's mane, cordyceps, chaga, reishi, turkey tail. And then if you want, I'll just dive into each of those extracts.
Yeah. Let's dive into like, you know, all of them and what their direct impact is. You know, if I'm feeling a heightened sense of awareness, which one is that? You know, if I'm feeling more calm, you know, where I don't get the jittery feeling that I typically do when I'm intaking caffeine, which one is that? Let's go through each one of those.
Cool. All right. So I'm going to start with lion's mane, which is sort of like the
king of the jungle.
Pretty much. Yeah. Definitely king of the mushrooms. Yeah. So lion's mane is the kind of like fundamental mushroom in our blend. It's currently being studied for like Parkinson's and Alzheimer's disease. You know, there some small studies have shown that it's beneficial in protecting against dementia and relieving like symptoms of depression and anxiety. So I found that with sort of long-term consistent use of it, my head feels a lot clearer. I actually noticed like a night and day difference when I switched back to just regular coffee. I did it for like a month and didn't have any mushroom extracts and then got back on mushroom coffee. And I was like, oh, there you go. Now, like, I get it. I understand. It's a wow. Pretty clear okay. difference. So that was like the main one. That one is for the mental clarity and the focus. The second extract, and this is sort of in order also okay. of the blend itself. in terms of like the volume of each extract. So the second one is cordyceps, and that's a popular mushroom extract that's found in like pre-workouts, sports nutrition products. That one is used by like endurance athletes, supposed to help blood circulation and blood flow. I'm going to say supposed to also, just because, you know, the studies are all consistent in that they show the same results, but they're also small scale. And I don't want to say like it's scientifically proven that it does this.
Oh yeah. I mean, we're not doctors, so no worries. That's a disclaimer for everyone else for everything else that's said.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, those are, it's a red flag if you hear someone say something like that about like a sports nutrition product or something. Studies show that it improves blood flow, helps endurance athletes perform better and longer. So I use it in the blend for just like endurance and kind of like getting through that long day. Third extract in order is chaga, which has one of the highest ORAC scores across any food on earth, which is a antioxidant, like the levels of antioxidants in the food itself. So that's to protect your immune health, your skin, nails, hair. It's just like an overall great mushroom. And you see that in a lot of other mushroom coffee companies are pretty much just chaga. It has like this delicious cocoa flavor to it. I believe it was in Finland, they actually brewed just chaga itself in hot water to replace coffee. I think it was hard for them to get coffee at the time that they were doing that. It just has rich, delicious flavor to it, but we use it for the antioxidants and for like to support overall well-being. Fourth mushroom extract that we use is reishi, and reishi powder is, have you ever tried CBD?
I have not.
It's similar to CBD in that it's like an anti-anxiety, kind of like a calming anti-jitter effect. So I found that adding reishi helped negate the kind of unpleasant qualities of caffeine, which helps bolster like the lion's mane and cordyceps, just makes them feel a lot cleaner. The energy just feels a lot cleaner and a lot longer lasting. So we use reishi for that. It's also super high in antioxidants, which is, you know, just an added benefit. And a lot of people experience anxiety when they're drinking a lot of coffee or when they have caffeine. So that anti-anxiety is really nice to have in the mix also. That's one of like the main problems that I was having with other like nootropics or like ADHD medication. When you get like some pretty intense anxiety just because your heart rate is up and your like adrenaline is up. So super pleasant experience to have the reishi in that blend. And then the last one that we use is turkey tail. We don't use a ton of turkey tail. You get like a nice little dose, and the more consistently you use it, you're getting like a nice consistent dose of turkey tail. And that's for, in our blend anyway, it's for gut health. It has other benefits, but we use it primarily for gut health.
How does it help in gut health? What does it do specifically? Or what have studies shown it to do specifically?
So it's supposedly contains prebiotics. Okay. I say supposedly, but almost definitely contains prebiotics. As far as like the studies in like the floor, like gut flora, not positive. I'd have to like dig into that a little deeper, but it's a prebiotic mushroom and they grow everywhere too. You can actually see them if you're walking around like the city and you look down at like a tree trunk, you'll actually see a turkey tail mushroom growing out of that.
Man, that's crazy.
Actually, super calm. Okay. Yeah, keep an eye out for those.
Yeah, I'm definitely not going to just pick one up and eat it, but if it's in the coffee, I'm all in. Okay, so, all right, so, which I still can't figure out, by the way. I think it has something to do with the oils and the flesh of the mushrooms versus the extracts and stuff. But
I don't hate to interrupt real quick, yeah. Just because I just pulled this up about the turkey tail mushroom.
Yeah, let's do it.
I just wanted to get like a little deeper kind of into the gut health part of it. I hate to like leave your viewers kind of your listeners hanging there.
No, I love it. Let's do it.
That we do is we have researchers and copywriters kind of pull different studies and pull the info from that data. We put that on our website. So if you go to newroast.com, you go to articles, you'll see each extract and the different studies they're cited. And so just real quick, an 8-week study, 24 healthy people consumed 2,600 milligrams of turkey tail, experienced beneficial changes in gut bacteria with suppressed growth of dangerous E. coli and Shigella bacteria strain. So that's one of like the 5 studies that we have on that article. We just hate to leave your listeners hanging there.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. Man, that's crazy. Cool. So, I mean, and I think it just goes to show like how much time and effort you guys put into making sure that, you know, you're using the right blend and the right conjunction of these things in order to help, you know, maximize its impact. You had mentioned a little while ago about kind of reducing the shiitake so that you could put more cordyceps and lion's mane. What was kind of the thought behind that, and what was shiitake's part in playing, and why are we kind of backing out of that one?
So I had shiitake in the blend, mainly just because when I was originally creating the like that mushroom blend, the one of the first companies we were working with had some pre-made blends. So they had like a blend of maybe 2 or 3 mushrooms at a time, and shiitake was in that blend, and it still has like overall health benefits. But I just found that, and this was kind of like recently, that I really want to focus more on the important mushroom extracts in our blend that are accomplishing what I, you know, what I really want to accomplish with the product. So when we had the opportunity to, you know, we're getting each mushroom extract individually, and we have been for a while. But it just felt like that's another ingredient to manage. It's another thing to keep track of. It's not really contributing the benefits that I want to see, and that's more lion's mane and cordyceps. So by getting rid of it, I'm able to increase the dose of lion's mane and cordyceps and also manage one less ingredient.
Cool. I mean, that obviously makes sense, man, and everything's got to be scalable correctly. So cool. All right. So, you know, we talked briefly about the 4 or 5 cups of coffee a day, the need to change that, your background in sports nutrition and kind of making that transition. Something that I think is super important. I took a road trip yesterday to Tennessee. I'm in Charlotte, took a road trip to Tennessee. It was, I don't know, 5 hours each way. I got up super early after, I don't know, maybe 4 or 5 hours of sleep. My Oura Ring said, take it easy today. I jumped in the truck, drove down to Tennessee, spent maybe 40 minutes, and then drove back. Now, I did not start the trip with any type of caffeine. I actually started with something that you may have seen, the Creo Brew. So a non-caffeinated version of a substitute for coffee. It does have a little bit of caffeine because it's, you know, from cocoa beans. And then I used your New Roast creamer together, which was fantastic. And then I drank 2 cups of black New Roast coffee on the way back. And no crash, no jitters, no nothing. I mean, it felt like I drove an hour. It was absolutely the best road trip I have ever had as far as energy, clarity, not feeling drained, no yawns, no nothing. Now, part of that could have been with the fact that I was listening to Sirius XM old school hip hop music, which was fantastic. But I definitely know that I felt amazing based on, you know, having these, you know, things available to me without the drain that comes from the cortisol and the adrenal tension that comes from all the caffeine. So one of the questions that I have is, you made all this transition and stuff, but what was it about coffee that had you drink it other than the fact that there was caffeine in it? Because I feel like you're a smart enough guy to know that caffeine is supposed to give you energy, but it's also way more draining in some regards. But besides that, like, your coffee tastes amazingly good. Now, I'm a coffee snob, I'll admit it. And I'm just trying to figure out how someone that created this made coffee that's black that tastes as good as it does. Because I know some coffee connoisseurs that brew and roast coffee and it's horrible. So, you know, kind of, can you kind of walk us through how that even came up? How did you come about making it taste good? And then having that kind of wherewithal and flavor profiling that has occurred?
Totally. One thing that, kind of, I think differentiates us is our, focus on making these like coffee shop quality, products. So,
nice. Okay.
Let me answer the coffee question first before I kind of like dive in deeper. So I love coffee. Was drinking it mainly for the energy. It's also like available everywhere in like New York. It's on every corner. It's in our office is like filled with it. But one day I was walking by, and this is after I'd already decided I'm going to create like a mushroom coffee product. So obviously the question is, where do you get the coffee from? Do you go to ShopRite and get Maxwell House and just dump it into like a bin and stir it up?
That's an option, I guess, right?
It's an option. Do you go on Alibaba? You know, do you go on Amazon? Like, where do you find, like, how are you going to get bulk coffee? So I'm walking around my neighborhood and the smell from this coffee shop was so good that I walked in, it pulled me in from the street and I was like, I need to get my coffee from this place. I walked in, they have these big, 25 pound sacks of coffee. There's dozens of them and they line the whole store. So I went, you know, roast by roast, checking out all the different beans, and then pretty much said, like, I want one of these full bags, like one of these 25-pound bags, and I just, like, walk out with it. and that was our relationship with a artisan coffee roaster who we still use to this day. The coffee is
Probably, like, 25-pound bag. No one does that. We sell them in 12 ounces, gusseted. How many would you
pound
like?
Bags or, like, half pounds at a time, and I was like, no, I want the whole thing. This one is incredible. We worked with them. That was at the beginning of our relationship, and we've worked with them since. I mean, we see them every few days. They teach us about the coffee. We have our new flavored coffees. So they offer flavored coffees at the shop. We talk to them about coming up with our own. You know, we have to make it a little difficult for them. So they have their flavors. I'm like, can I combine flavors? Can I make my own blends with them? They said we can do whatever we want. So we created chocolate hazelnut. And these are coffee roasters that they were pretty much just used to supplying other coffee shops and restaurants with their coffee. So they weren't used to, you know, selling thousands of pounds at a time to a mushroom coffee company. But we just got a really good relationship with, you know, experts.
All right. So let's talk about this because this is something that's near and dear to my heart. So flavored coffee and coffee flavors. Most of my clients will come to me and, you know, when I'm like, hey, you know, I'm big into intermittent fasting. I think everyone, no matter what their eating protocol is, whether you're paleo, keto, vegetarian, vegan, carnivore, whatever, I think everyone should fast intermittent like every day. That's just my life. So one of the things that I get from people is, oh, it's impossible. I can't fast because I have to put something in my coffee in the morning. And I'm like, well, if you put anything in your coffee and it's not black, then you're going to kick yourself out. So there's that. And people will tell me, I can't drink black coffee. It's disgusting. And I'm just like, coffee, which I'm just going to throw this out there for people that don't know. If you look at wine, there's basically 80 different things that can be done from the vine to the bottle that can impact and adjust the flavoring and the taste of wine, whether it's the type of grape used, the moment at which it's harvested, how long it's set to ferment, the fermenting type process, all these different things. And that all impacts the wine taste. And everyone knows how snobby wine connoisseurs can get and be about how their wine tastes, right? Well, coffee, from the cherry itself to the final cup, there's 800 different variables that impact what the coffee tastes like by the time it gets to your cup. And so when I tell people that, I say that for the main reason of people understanding and recognizing that if they haven't tasted coffee that they liked, it's not that they don't like coffee, it's that they haven't found the right one. So I say all that to say, you know, when you were putting this stuff together, I mean, what did you tell them? I want coffee to taste like X, Y, and Z. Or did they kind of walk you through that process and evolution? And how much do you think now you've learned about the things that impact what your coffee tastes like? Do you feel like your palate for coffee has drastically changed from that moment till now?
I definitely learned a lot trying out different types of coffee, and I learned a lot about the different roasts. So I at the time didn't really know all the different variables that went into making like the perfect cup of coffee.
Right. Okay.
So when I originally started, you know, in my mind, I was like, I'm going to have this like amazing Italian dark roast. That's what I'm going to go for. Like the darkest dark roast that's available is what I want. So that's the first one that I got. I got 25 pounds of it and I was so excited. I made this blend, I brewed it and I was like, I don't like this at all. It's not good. It's super bitter. That the taste kind of like stays in your mouth for a long time.
It's really heavy. It does, yeah.
You know, it's people are going to drink it and you say this is burnt coffee. A lot of people say that about like Starbucks. They say like it tastes burnt to them. It's a really dark roast coffee. So that was a mistake. So back to the drawing board. Let's go.
25-pound lesson.
Yeah, 25-pound lesson. Let's go. I mean, when I started the company, like in my mind, worst case scenario is I'll have, you know, I'll have a dozen pounds of coffee in my house, and that's, it's not really a problem. I'll drink it anyway. So then I went like medium roast. The lighter the roast, typically the more acidic, kind of like sour flavor to the coffee.
The puckered taste, yep.
Yeah, puckered. So yeah, I go medium roast. I brew it. I'm excited. I drink it, and it's too acidic for me. Not the way that I like to enjoy it. And if you're gonna drink coffee black, kind of hard to get past that acidity. So now I'm making a kind of, I'm looking for an in between those two roasts. Like, what can I work with that's not bitter? It's not gonna have those bitter notes, and it's also not gonna have those sour acidic notes. And then just through a little experimentation, we come, like we land on something that's, in my opinion, still my favorite, like still my favorite roast without a doubt. They have dozens of different types, and this one is still my favorite. You can drink it black. It's not too acidic. It's not too bitter. I don't think it's acidic or bitter. I think it's just like perfectly chocolatey. If I can.
Yeah, it is. So one of the things I'll say is, you know, Brittany, who unfortunately, because of her work schedule, couldn't be on the recording today. Brittany and I have very different palates when it comes to coffee. She is typically your super dark. She enjoys the bitter, the taste that lasts and lingers. I'm not a fan. I typically like a lighter roast, higher acidic coffee. Not so much in the lemony and floral type, but more of the strawberry-ish, orange, caramel chocolatey type. So that's how that thing is. And then, you know, there's also coffees that they'll start it one way when they're hot, and then as they cool, the acidity will rise. And so, you know, we always will taste a cup of coffee, and then we'll let it sit for a while and kind of get an idea and a feel for at that roast, at this brew method, where things are at later. Your original classic new roast is the same way from the first sip through the last, and it is just enjoyable. The trip that I was talking about yesterday, one of my clients, he was like, dude, I can't drink black coffee. And I brewed, like I said, two cups. I put it in a stainless steel Yeti type container so it stayed hot. And I was just like, look, before I go, you've got to taste this coffee. Just taste it. And he tasted it, and he was just like, well, what's in this? This is incredible. And I was like, there's nothing, man. It's just black coffee. Like, this is what you can drink and enjoy. And this is what enjoyable black coffee tastes like. And so he's a fan. He was like, I need to order it right now. You know, and so in understanding that, like, I think people, they need to try it. They need to be exposed to it, which is one of the reasons why I really wanted to get you on, because this stuff is, it's just amazing. It's absolutely amazing. And you know, so shifting gears a little bit, you mentioned the chocolate hazelnut. I believe in you, Alex. I believe in New Roast, and I'm not a fan of flavored coffees. I am absolutely not. I have tried numerous flavored coffees all over the place, and I hate each and every single one of them. So when I saw the pre-order come out, I was like, I don't know, man. Do I trust the product? Do I trust the person? And I was like, I trust the person, so I'm going to try it. So I ordered it, and I brewed it, and I'll be honest with you, I looked at it and I was like, I'm really not sure what, like if I want it or don't. And when I brewed it, I was like, ah, it smells good. And I had already posted about it, so I felt like I had to. And then I drank it and I was just blown away. Can we talk a little bit about the flavoring process that your artisan roasters are utilizing? Do you know anything about it? Are they infusing this with flavor, or are they just using the right beans to manipulate and create these flavors? You know, I know some people, I'll name them because I don't care, Harry and David will actually like spray some of their coffee with these flavors, and it's horrific. It smells great when you smell the beans, but it doesn't taste nearly what it's supposed to at the end. Are they just, how are they kind of coming up with the things that you're asking for, or do you know?
Cool. Well, first, let me say thank you, because you said a lot of nice things about
yeah, you're welcome.
Get a chance to say thanks, so thank you. They use some different oils, some like essential oils or flavor extracts that come from the food itself. So hazelnut extract or like a hazelnut oil, cocoa oil or cocoa extract. That's pretty much as I know. I know that the beans are tossed in this, in these like oils or essential oils or extracts. Yeah. And then they're roasted and then ground before they come to us. And then we mix them with the mushroom extracts. That's pretty much about their process as I know at the moment. One thing that we were able to do is say we want 25% more flavor, 25% less flavor. I want to mix these two together, or you don't offer this flavor. If we find the essential oil or the extract for you, can we incorporate it? And it's always a yes. We have full ability to customize the flavors. And originally, like so I'm not a flavored coffee guy either, for the most part. So I trust them when they, you know, they say like, this is what everyone comes in, they ask for this flavor, this flavored coffee. I tried it and loved it. And, it kind of made sense with kind of like the direction the brand is going on. If you follow us on Instagram, these really like beautiful dessert, like coffee concoctions. So flavors kind of felt like a good next step. It was actually my business partner who proposed it. And then I kind of maybe took it too far with all the different flavor ideas. We have a bunch that are coming out soon. Right now it's chocolate hazelnut, but we have a lot more coming out that are, I think people are really going to enjoy.
Man, that's awesome. Okay, so I know my listeners want to know. I want to know, can you share what the other flavors are? You don't have to share timelines. It could be 2023, but just so that we can all sit on our hands and waiting with anticipation and add the anxiety to their already anxious world that we live in.
I'll tell you the next flavor that's coming out. It's going to be available June 1st. We have caramel pecan cluster. It's going to be the next one. We're fine tuning it right now. So we taste it first. Then we can say we want 25% more of this flavor or 50% more of this flavor. And we're just trying to nail it. So when you open the bag, the smell is intense and like mouth watering. That's kind of what we're going for. And then I'll share a few that aren't definite yet. And because they're not definite, I can share them and we can, you know, I can't promise that, you know, which ones are going to come out and that they won't change, but, s'mores has potential. Ice cream sundae has potential.
Ice cream sundae coffee. I don't even know what I'd do with myself.
Like, I mean, I could spit out like 10 flavors off the top of my head that have potential, but it's going to come down to when we try them and the time that the product would come out. So yeah, there's no timeline on those, but
yeah, it's all mind bending.
We could do like almond joy. It wouldn't be called that, but it would, you know, chocolate coconut. Chocolate coconut almond or something, you know, we can come up with pretty much anything at this point.
Dude, that's ridiculous.
That's going to cause more delays than not being able to get the product. It's going to be coming up with so many options. We don't know which one to launch next.
Yeah, well, I think you're spot on with the whole caramel pecan cluster. Like, that's going to be ridiculous.
Oh, yeah.
And my birthday is June 3rd, so I'm all in for we're back from our birthday. Like, that's great. You broke up a little bit, man, but okay, so these are all the coffees. Let's talk a little bit about your creamer, and I know we have a hard stop here coming up shortly, so I want to make sure I'm respectful of your time. Can you kind of give us an idea on the creamer space and how you came up with that, and specifically I'd like to talk and touch through why there's no garbage in your creamer?
Yeah, one of our ads actually that's running on like Facebook and Instagram almost perfectly explains why we started creating our own creamers, and it's because we couldn't find one that we liked that wasn't filled with junk. Probably can't say the names, the brand names, but there are a lot of creamers. Or if you go to like a hotel and they give you that dry creamer that you can use, it's just filled with nonsense and garbage, and that's as scientific as I'll get about that. But you look through the ingredients, it's not good stuff. There's a lot of corn syrup solids. I'm looking at this, I'm like, there has to be why isn't there just like a natural coffee creamer alternative so that if I am on the road or something, I can add some cream to my coffee if I want it, or I can like blend a latte real quick. We couldn't find one, so we just decided to make one ourselves. And it was a test. We had no idea if anyone would like it or if anyone would buy it, but we thought, let's just put it out there. We'll test it out. We'll see what people think. And it exploded, and it's like a staple of our product line now. So we have all the different coffee creamers, pumpkin spice, classic, cocoa. We're going to have more, hint. So yeah, when we were coming up with it ourselves, we were looking at what natural product or what natural ingredients can we use that would kind of mimic a powdered coffee creamer. And one was coconut milk powder, which is perfect. It's just coconut milk powder. There's no corn syrup solids. There's no sugar. There's no nonsense in it. No fillers. Just coconut milk powder is pure, and it made a lot of sense to us. So we ran with it. We tested it out. It was, keto friendly, it's plant-based, it's paleo, it hits all those, it checks all those boxes. Right. So it made a lot of sense to us. So we thought let's put it out there and let's see what people say.
Well, I can tell you, I did travel with the creamer. One of the things for me is now that I'm hooked on drinking New Roast and having the adaptogens, for me, it was like, I can't bring your coffee. I think you guys were out of the instant coffee at the time, and I was like, I've got to be able to get my mushrooms in. So what can I do? How can I do it? And so I got the creamer packed neatly in my carry-on, and everywhere I was at, I had my milk frother out, put the creamer in, and went to town. And dude, it was great. It was like I didn't miss a beat. I've only tried the classic super cream, so I can't speak to the flavors that are available. But with the other flavors, like the pumpkin and the mocha, are there sweeteners added at all?
Only to the cocoa. The pumpkin spice is just coconut milk powder, mushroom blend, and spices, just like cinnamon, ginger, allspice, nutmeg. Okay. The cocoa creamer has a little bit of organic stevia in it, because otherwise it's too bitter. And it's kind of hard to drink when it's that bitter. So we had to sweeten it out a bit. So there's a little bit of organic stevia in that, but that's about it.
Okay. Now we're okay. Just
coconut milk powder, mushroom blend, cocoa, and organic stevia.
Okay, cool. Have you guys ever thought about using something like a sugar gnat or something like that, where it was, not stevia as a sweetener?
Sorry, what was the alternative that...
Yeah, a sugar. Everybody's like, "What is sugar gnat?" Sugar gnat is just a natural, unrefined, completely untouched ground sugar, like ground sugar cane.
We were thinking of doing coconut sugar. Still throwing that idea around, just raw coconut sugar. There's no like definite timeline on that.
Gotcha.
So many like other powdered creamers and creamers in general just have so much sugar in them. We just figured let's try to keep them as unsweetened as possible, and then people can customize it, because you can always add more sugar to it, but you can't take the sugar out.
Exactly. Cool. I love it. I'll have to try the mocha and the pumpkin just so that I can speak to how amazing they are, because I haven't done that yet. Okay. And then the last thing I really want to touch on, because this is something that I keep saying when I talk about the reduction of caffeine. What's the caffeine content of New Roast compared to your typical coffee? And is there a difference at all?
So I'll go product by product. Okay. A classic roast has about 60 to 65 milligrams per serving, versus what would probably be about 75 to 80 milligrams per serving. Our instant coffee is 50 milligrams per serving, versus if you were to get just a pure instant coffee product, it would probably be about 60 to 65. The mushrooms in general are pretty much going to cut that down alone. But then for like the classic roast, it's a darker coffee, which contains less caffeine than a lighter coffee. So that kind of helped tone it down a bit. Instant latte is the same deal. It's about 60 milligrams of caffeine per serving. And then the coffee creamers have no caffeine whatsoever.
Awesome. Okay, thank you. And that's, and again, like the Creo Brew thing that I mentioned with the creamer yesterday, that's how I kicked off the day with some MCT oil. And, it was awesome, being able to have pure energy without the caffeine was just, I mean, it was phenomenal. I love that as an option. I always think that's great.
We're planning on having the decaf version of our classic coffee, so it would taste exactly the same, but no caffeine in it, or very, very little caffeine in it. No definite timeline on that, but it is something that we do plan on having available. And then if I can bombard you with some upcoming products also that I think...
Oh, please do, please.
Excited about. So we're going to offer individual mushroom extracts. You'll be able to get them straight from us. Those will be available. We have our instant Americano is back. Thank God, because people were rioting about that. that's officially back and good to go. We have some new instant lattes coming up in the future. Some will be like the classic like coffee latte, but others will be different coffee shop style lattes. So it could be, you could think like matcha latte, or I don't want to give away too much. So
yeah.
Different kinds of instant lattes, individual mushroom extracts, different flavors, and then different roasts of our just brewing coffees.
Wow. Okay, cool.
And we're trying to get that out as soon as we can. So we're working like tirelessly on making that available ASAP.
Well, I feel like if you guys start running out of energy, you know, I feel like you guys can stay well caffeinated and well shroomed. Where can everybody find you? Where can everybody get all these things?
You can follow us at NeuRoast, NEUROAST, everywhere. So Facebook, Instagram, Pinterest, Twitter, it's all the same. You know, you get all of our products on Amazon, eBay, NeuRoast.com. I can't say the name of any of these places, but we will be available in some online retailers and store and brick and mortar retailers soon. So more on that. Just give us a follow and trust me, we're going to be announcing it. And then if for whatever reason you want to follow me at it's Alex Curtis on Instagram and say hi.
I'll awesome. Say hi. Absolutely awesome. And just so the listeners know, for those orders that are placed on NeuRoast.com, if you use code KetoNeo, KetoNeo, that'll get you 20% off your order. So definitely check that out. Listen, again, I wanted to honor your time. I am greatly appreciative that you're able to take the time out. Love what you guys are doing. I absolutely love your product. Most people think that whenever I have or do a product spotlight, it's because someone sent me something and I was like, oh, okay, let's check that out. And I can't stress enough that I spend my money to get these things that I like and enjoy. And then I reach out to get you guys on because it's been that impactful. So thank you for taking the time, going through the grind, literally and figuratively, to come out with something that is absolutely so awesome and beneficial. You know, the quality and the taste is there. It's a huge thing. And so I appreciate you.
Cool. Well, thank you so much, man, for having me on and also for saying a lot of nice things. It means a lot to us. And thank you so much, man. I really appreciate it.
You know, not a problem. If you guys need anything from the Keto Matrix or the family of the Keto Matrix, please let us know and we will do everything we can in our power to help you guys continue to rise. Thank you again and have a great night, man. I appreciate you coming on.
Sounds good, man. Let's do it again sometime.
Will do.
The Keto Matrix Podcast, where myths are busted, science is explained, and the keto lifestyle is discussed by industry experts and everyday people alike. For more information and support, go to theketomatrix.com.